Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today. We're looking forward to the journey together as we face the issues. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Today we're talking about reviewing the COVID-19 aftermath. Although the coronavirus has not completely fizzled out, we're watching the aftermath. And I don't know if you have paid much attention to what is taking place, but we are seeing some tectonic shifts in the economy, the political structure, social economic structure, and everything to do with spirituality, Christianity in particular. We're watching the aftermath. It's kind of like watching the dust settle after a airplane crash or after a collapse because of a tornado or hurricane. Watching the aftermath. What do you see taking place? What is it that you see that you're concerned about that has taken place during the course of this past 3 months? What are you concerned about as relates to the future of where we go as a people, as a city, as a state, as a nation? Do you see anything changed? Do you feel that it's a permanent change, or is it just temporal? What are your thoughts on that? Love to have your comments, dialogue, and discussion today. 831-0917. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of ideological bent or philosophical rhetoric. It's not based on some denominational dogma. We make the decision, determination on what we say on this broadcast and dealing with the issues. We do so based on the authority of Scripture. You see, it's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that is the source book of truth. It is the final authority on what we as believers ought to do and how we need to see the world in which we're living in. And so I challenge you to study the book of all books. It's called the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus identifies that freedom. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth. I am truth." And then in John 17:17, Jesus, "My terms, not his," puts the capstone on what is truth. Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, God's word doesn't hold just a tidbit of truth or an occasional truth or every now and then a truth or truth on some issues. God's word, the Bible, is the truth on every subject, about every source in society. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." If you don't believe that, just get out there and the general public around you today and ask the question, why are you wearing a mask? Do you really believe what they've said? When on one occasion they said a mask was not needed, now they're saying a mask is vital. One occasion they said the mask could not help anyone or prevent the virus spread, and now they're saying that it does. When you ask questions like that and you talk about what's happening in society and the trickle down of the effects, you'll find out that folks are not generally interested in the truth. George Orwell said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it, as a truism, I believe, for today, as much as in the day in which he made that statement. But I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a very powerful statement that I believe every Christian needs to adhere to today. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's the position every Christian ought to take. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to, more than ever in the history of the church, we need to seek the truth. What is the truth? Listen to the truth. If you turn on the Communist Network News or you listen to the Socialist Marxist Democrats, you're certainly not going to hear the truth. We need to listen to the truth, learn the truth. And once we learn the truth through the Word of God, we need to love it and tell it and live it and stand and defend it, even if we have to stand alone in defending the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we're coming to an era in society today where more than ever, we as Christians in particular are going to have to stand for the truth, standing and defending the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. They also have a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape lawn care equipment as well as the hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The benchmark, the identifying place for Tools for Time, is the gigantic flagpole with the Old Glory flying 24/7 right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the flag, the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again lest I forget it. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about reviewing the COVID-19 aftermath. Ladies and gentlemen, although we still have not seen the end of the coronavirus devastation and death, we can simply review what is obvious to all of us at this stage. While Twitter and Facebook and Google and YouTube and other social media are somehow trying to censor all the speech and the communication and the conversation about China's role in the pandemic, we all know the source. We all, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe there's a human being on the face of the globe that's not familiar with the source of the coronavirus. Now, I understand that you got your bleeding mouth liberals on Communist Network News, CNN, that are trying to deny it was originated in China. They are believing the Chinese lie. They're carrying the bucket of water for the Chinese government and are touting the talking points of China today. In America, American news media, American politicians are touting the talking points for the Chinese communist government today. But ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what they say, you know and I know the source of the pandemic that was fountainheaded right out of China. We're familiar with that. But ladies and gentlemen, there's an attempt today to shut down anything that would be said in relationship to that. I find it ironic, too, ladies and gentlemen, that not only do we find that Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and the other sources of social media that are trying to prevent the information from going out about the source of the Wuhan Chinese virus known as the coronavirus. Yet at the same time, President Trump is finding that anything that he says, now Twitter is trying to, as they call it, source it and determine whether it's true or not. I would have never dreamed just a few months ago that it would be possible for social media to confront the president and to try to shut down any free speech, any conversation the president might have about any issue. And that's exactly what they're doing today. Ladies and gentlemen, the deadly blow to our nation's economy. And the economic base in America has been horrific. I don't know that we'll ever know the full depth and breadth of it, but hundreds of thousands of businesses will never open. Hundreds of thousands of businesses are still closed. We have mega numbers today, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, I believe the latest number was over 35, somewhere between 35 and 38 million people that's out of work. And may I say, these things are only the obvious aftermaths of the horror of COVID-19. We must realize, ladies and gentlemen, that America has changed forever. Now, there are those that are saying that it's just a temporal change. There are those that are saying we're going to all bounce back and it's all going to be put back together as it was before. It's an impossibility. We have been witnessing a tectonic change in all of society. We have witnessed a change, an irreversible, irrevocable, permanent change in the political scene, the political arena, in the religious arena, in the socioeconomic arena, in the arena of every facet and phase of life and living in America. It will never be the same. Never be the same financially, socially, or spiritually in America. All of those, ladies and gentlemen, all of those like Nancy Pelosi, George Soros, Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, Dr. Tedros of World Health Organization have worked in unison. Listen to me. They've worked in unison today to bring about the socialist Marxist agenda for America. And I find it antithetical to anything that'd be called truth. We're finding now CDC and World Health Organization and others admitting that there were errors, misguiding, misleading errors in some of the things they promoted. Here's an article that says CDC admits to giving misleading COVID-19 data tests. Several states have been making the same mistake. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention admitted that it is combining viral and antibody tests when reporting the overall testing totals, a decision which scientists say paints an inaccurate picture of the state of the pandemic in America. The test mix was first reported by NPR and WRLN, stationed in Miami, after a worldwide analysis found major discrepancies between state reports and the testing and CDC reports. It goes on to talk about how this was done and how these major test differentiations were, and mistakes, as they're calling them now, made in Pennsylvania and Georgia and Texas and Vermont and other states, have also been conflating the results of the two different test types. Virginia and Maine only recently stopped the fraudulent testing and what they're reporting as far as numbers. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been duped, deceived, and our nation's economy destroyed. As we'll find in this broadcast today, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the nation's economy that's faced the major destruction. It's not just the economy that's been undermined and destroyed. We'll talk about it during the course of this broadcast. Anything that's called morals and ethics and values and spirituality and religiosity have all been absolutely undermined today in the scenario in America as we find it. There's been an attempt on every hand to tear down and destroy what's been said, what's been done, and what we've attempted to do, especially as Christians in America. We've been faced with it, ladies and gentlemen, from the socialist Marxist agenda. Most believers today, conservatives, and most politicians will not have believed, when I say most, I'm talking about most from the standpoint of conservative political leadership, would have never believed that our Bill of Rights would have been shredded by a virus spreading across America and around the world. In fact, Dr. Ron Paul, former senator, Ron Paul made this statement. He says, Dr. Fauci needs to be removed, if not by Trump, then by the American people. Former Congressman and presidential GOP contender Ron Paul last week decried public trust in Dr. Anthony Fauci, suggesting the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases director should be removed from the Trump administration's coronavirus task force. Referring to Fauci as a fraud, Ron Paul said on his web show, the Ron Paul Liberty Report, that Fauci was no different from the other Washington experts and bureaucrats seeking to profit politically from the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and should be fired by President Donald Trump immediately. Further in his article, he makes this profound statement, ladies and gentlemen. They have to fire him, by saying he's a fraud. He doesn't give us any good information at all. Paul went on to suggest that Fauci's frequent overstatement and overstated estimates and sensational rhetoric regarding the governmental pandemic response measures, such as social distancing, seem to be informed primarily by an authoritarianism mindset. And that's exactly what we can vouch for and validate based on what we've seen, ladies and gentlemen, coming across America and around the globe. We're watching the authoritarian hand being seen and what they're attempting to accomplish and to carry out. But if just 6 months ago, if you had asked me, is it possible for our Bill of Rights to be washed out? Is it possible for our nation to go into major cataclysmic, destruction financially? I would have said it's an impossibility. If you had asked me, is it possible for the federal government to just by flicking a light switch shut down all business and shut down all churches in America, I would have said, no, not on your life. We have a Constitution, a Bill of Rights. It's an impossibility. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, our churches, our First Amendment religious liberties have been absolutely eviscerated, nullified. Here's an article that says, it's from Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel has done a stalwart job in the past 3 months, in particular, keeping us up to breast with what's happening around the nation with churches. Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel says this in his latest newsletter. The city of Chicago suggests it may, listen, don't let this shock you, let it soak in. The city of Chicago suggests it may bulldoze Chicago area churches if they continue to meet in person. Matt Staver says this, praise God, last week President Donald Trump declared churches and houses of worship to be essential, instructing all governors to honor the First Amendment, the First Amendment rights to the religious freedoms. But, he says, the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois apparently didn't get the message, because just one day after President Trump declared churches to be essential, the city of Chicago delivered a deeply chilling letter to our clients, the Elam Romanian Pentecostal and Logos Baptist Ministries. The letter threatened to potentially destroy, listen to this, not just shut the building, not just close them, not just to ticket them, not just to fine them, not just arresting the pastor, but listen to what Matt Staver says. The letter threatened to potentially destroy the physical buildings of the churches if they continue to hold services. He says in the letter delivered Saturday, May 23rd, Chicago Health Commissioner Allison Arward, that's Arwady, wrote, I am authorized to seek to enjoin such nuisance or to cause the same to be summarily abated in such manner as I may direct. The letter ended by stating that the city will take steps necessary to abate, including summary abatement. Now, according to the Illinois Supreme Court, summary abatement would mean to put down or to destroy without process. This means the inspector can, upon his own judgment, cause the alleged nuisance, i.e. the church, to stop on his own authority and effect a destruction of the property at his discretion alone. In other words, by claiming summary abatement statutes, the city of Chicago is now actively threatening to physically tear down these churches. Ladies and gentlemen, tell me what's the difference in that in the city of Chicago and what you see taking place in China today. China's bulldozing churches. China's burning by the millions, Bibles, hymn books, any worship books and material. China is in the process of eradicating Christianity and churches off the face of the globe when it comes to China. And now here is a nitwit, if I can use that term, a nitwit in Chicago that's wanting to utilize the abatement statute to go in and literally, if a church continues to have service, to destroy the facilities, the physical plant, the buildings. If that's not a Gestapo method, nothing is. If that's not a socialist, Marxist, communist methodology, nothing is. And ladies and gentlemen, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Tip of the iceberg. Not just from the letter, newsletter, Matt Staver. But here's a major news article. Chicago threatens to close or destroy churches. Today, I'm reading from the article. Today, Chicago Department of Public Health sent a letter to Elam Pentecostal Church and other Romanian churches in the city threatening closure to use summary abatement. In the threatening letter, the Commissioner of Health said that he would, out of his own accord, would be willing to destroy the buildings, to take necessary steps to abate, including summary abatement, the facilities of God's people in Chicago. This article goes on to say, the day after President Trump stated the houses of worship are essential for and that the governors must allow the reopening, these authorities in Chicago have undertaken to destroy the churches. Chicago is therefore threatening the closure and even destruction of church buildings in their discretion on a single individual. In other words, a single individual can make the decision to destroy the churches. This article further states, the executive orders from Governor J.B. Pritzker are an insult to the First Amendment and to all Americans who understand the price and the value of religious liberties. Each day, the thug tactics to close churches in Illinois gets more bizarre and outrageous. The courts must step in and stop this insanity, this writer says. It is a shame that this is taking place in America, mirroring, ladies and gentlemen, exactly what's happening in China and other places like North Korea. Most believers, most conservatives, even most of our conservative politicians today would never have believed that this would be possible, that our Bill of Rights would be shredded by a virus spreading across America. Yet churches and our First Amendment religious liberties have been eviscerated. Churches have been closed now for about 10 weeks or better. Pastors have been fined. Churches have been ticketed, even for having worship services seated in automobiles on the parking lots of the churches. Even pastors put in jail for defending our religious liberties. Across America, thousands of churches remain closed today, ladies and gentlemen, even after President Trump said they needed to open up a week ago. Here's an article that says the federal courts rules on a lawsuit accusing state of pummeling religious freedom. A federal court has rejected a lawsuit. Listen, this is the position that so many of our courts are taking on the issue of religious liberties and our First Amendment rights. This is dated May 24th, ladies and gentlemen. A federal court has rejected a lawsuit by religious leaders accusing Democratic governor, California Governor Gavin Newsom, of violating religious freedoms of Californians. The South Bay United Pentecostal Church in Chula Vista, California, filed a lawsuit on May the 8th accusing the California governor of violating the church's First Amendment rights through his coronavirus stay-at-home order. But this article says the Ninth Circuit, I would call it the Ninth Circus, it's the most liberal appeals court in the nation, but the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld California's ban and ruled that the ban does not violate the First Amendment rights. According to CNN reporting, the court also rejected the church's request for a preliminary injunction. Judge Jacqueline Nguyen and Barry Silverman, listen, appointed by former presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, respectively, ruled against the lawsuit. Judge Daniel Collins, appointed by President Donald Trump, dissented. In his dissent, the judge wrote this. This is a President Trump-appointed judge. The only one that dissented on the opinion by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. This dissenting judge, this conservative judge, said this: by explicitly and categorically assigning all-in-one person religious services to a future phase three without any express regard to the number of attendees, the size of the space, or the safety protocol followed in such services, the state's reopening plan undeniably discriminates on its face against all religious conduct and liberties, end quote. Now, though that decision, his dissenting writing, was not the majority, it sets the stage for us to understand what we are up against, ladies and gentlemen, in America. We're talking about the reviewing of the COVID-19 aftermath. What are the pieces left in the streets? What is the aftermath of COVID-19 in America? President Trump made the statement, insists that it's open season. I'm quoting from an article. It's open season for our churches today. Even though we're in a presidential election year, liberals have yet to roll out their favorite catchphrase, separation of church and state. Maybe that's because in the wake of the coronavirus, some Democratic governors have brazenly crossed the line of separation of church and state, placing stricter restrictions on church gatherings than on establishments like restaurants, malls, even casinos. But enough is enough. And on Friday, after hearing the pastors all across the country, President Trump took advantage of his bully pulpit to start getting pastors behind their pulpits again. Calling together members of the media for a surprise briefing, the president had a message for America's governors. Quote, do the right thing. Allow these very important essential places of faith to open right now for this weekend. If they don't do it, he warned, I will override the governors. In America, we need more prayer, not less. Even before Friday's press conference, President Trump, the DOJ, has been working almost around the clock, sending attorneys into states where leaders have been less than cooperative with the First Amendment. In places like Mississippi and California, the unequal treatment has been so stunning that the attorney general himself had to personally intervene in the churches and the causes of religious liberties across America. The president has obviously been watching these injustices, pointing out that some governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics an essential. President Trump says that's just not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential places to provide essential services to the people in America. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just part of the aftermath. Now, you might ask the question, well, if the coronavirus is about over, and of course we all pray that it is, if they're allowing the states to start reopening, and multitudes of them have, yet we still find some states, the left coast states, i.e. California, that still has churches by the thousands in total shutdown mode. We have those states in the Northeast and places like Michigan with Governor Whitmer that have the idea that she is in a total tyrannical control and the churches have no authority. The places of business, for the most part, still cannot open. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we have watched a major ginormous, if I can use that term, we've watched a major ginormous tectonic shift in America in all that we see that we've held so near and dear for all of these years. First of all, we've seen the economy crash. Secondly, we've seen about 35 to 38 million people out of work. Thirdly, we've seen all of our businesses with thousands of them going bankrupt. We've seen our churches closed, our Bill of Rights absolutely eviscerated. Now, what do we do with that? How do we pick up the pieces? What are some of the other things that we're seeing as the fallout of the coronavirus? We'll talk about that after our top of the hour break. We're going to take a break for about 1 minute, ladies and gentlemen. But the top of the hour news, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with the continuing Let's Face the Issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.